Now, how about androgen deprivation therapy? Does ADT improve the outcomes in these patients? Well, intermediate and high-risk brachytherapy patients often receive androgen deprivation therapy as an extrapolation from the conventional dose XRT trials for locally advanced prostate cancer. And the patients that Dr. Roach is discussing on these RTOG trials are significantly more advanced than what we see with brachytherapy. Our high-risk patients in our series, in the Mount Sinai series, have average PSAs of 12 to 13. Max are at least double of that. Lou Potters and JCO in 2000 did a retrospective match pair analysis of 620 patients and could not discern any benefit for ADT for any brachytherapy patient based on risk group, Gleason score, PSA, or clinical stage. However, about 40% of brachytherapy patients do receive androgen deprivation therapy. The key is dose matters, and I think dose trumps androgen deprivation therapy in these brachytherapy patients. When we look at our intermediate risk, and again, limit it to Gleason score 7 with PSAs less than 10, at 10 years, the biochemical control rates with or without androgen deprivation therapy are about 96% with an undetectable PSA. Now, adding supplemental beam and or androgen deprivation therapy is also not free. There are long-term consequences. The differences in quality of life and complications are not day and night, but there is an increased risk of late hematuria, bulbomembranous urethral strictures, late urinary incontinence based upon the EPIC study, and late bowel dysfunction. And adding long-term androgen deprivation therapy more than 6 months. In our long-term study using the EPIC instrument, we also found significant differences in at least three of the domains. We did not find that with short course, 6 month or less of ADT, only long term. So does ADT impact overall survival in this patient group? And I don't have an answer to that, but we do have significant concern as to ADT potentially increasing cardiovascular events. And there was a study published by Dave Beyer earlier this year that showed with short course androgen deprivation therapy, overall survival was statistically different at 10 years. We've looked at our patients and we have not found this. At 10 years, our overall survival is around 82, 83%. One of the differences may be that our patient population is about 8 or 9 years younger than that reported by Dr. Beyer, but this is still a very important consideration. So the conclusions. Dose is paramount in securing freedom from biochemical failure, whether we use beam or whether we use brachytherapy. But high-quality brachytherapy may very well eliminate the need in these intermediate-risk patients for supplemental beam and androgen deprivation therapy. The completion of these two ongoing beam trials will hopefully answer the question. One of the other things is that in high-risk patients, there's at least 4 brachytherapy studies, including 2 from our group, which have demonstrated that there's an increased biochemical control rate with androgen deprivation therapy. But all 4 studies have substantially shorter follow-up in the hormone-treated patients, and they are retrospective. And XRT and ADT does have a deleterious effect on quality of life. Thank you for your attention.
Mac?
I think it's important for the audience not to forget that Dr. Merrick's focus was really on the management of the intermediate risk patient. And he also has published data that suggests that the higher risk patients, which would be defined as patients who have more than one intermediate risk feature, actually did show an advantage with the use of hormone therapy. And the data from Mount Sinai also suggests that there's a benefit in these patients who get hormone therapy. So it's not that if you're going to implant somebody, they don't benefit. The point that he made about intermediate risk in our database versus his in the RTOG risk group scheme, what we call intermediate risk would be considered high risk by some other group. So you really have to know what people mean by what they call intermediate risk in order to understand. I never recommend hormone therapy for low-risk patients.